is. And some of you I hadn't seen in a while. Yeah, it's just a blessing. Y'all look good. Denny, welcome back. Denny, there you are. Probably give you a chance next week to give us an update on how things went. Okay, so get some thoughts together and you can share next week. It's good to have Denny back. Plus, he brought me some Rebo coffee, so that's awesome. So I got that good Haitian coffee, so I'm grateful for that. You guys ready to get into the Word? All right, here we go. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, Some power. All power is given unto me in earth. In heaven and in earth. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore. Now, I'm not going to stop there, but I'm going to stop there for a minute. It would be like me saying, all the power vested at Grace Point has been given to me. Upstairs and downstairs. Now you go. What am I saying? I'm saying I got all the power. I have the authority. And now you go out in the name of Grace Point. That's what Jesus is doing. He's saying all power in heaven, all of it, and in earth has been given to me. When Jesus, did you know, I'll get back to the text, did you know that when Jesus came to earth, he laid down his rights and privileges as God? I can prove it. How else could Jesus be tempted? The Word of God says that God cannot be tempted. Was Jesus tempted? Yes, he was. Jesus became a man. I know Jesus was divine. I get that. In essence, always, he was divine. But he laid down his rights. It's called the kenosis, theologically. He laid down his rights and privileges as God. He became a man. And because he was a man, he was subject to temptation just like we were, okay? And so when he came to earth and he lived as a man full of the Holy Spirit, he did miracles, signs, and wonders, and Jesus died. And when Jesus died and he rose from the dead, he received the inheritance of all power in heaven and in earth. He didn't receive that power just because he was God. He didn't receive that power because who he was in heaven before. He received that power. It was bestowed on him because he completed the covenant, the will of God. He suffered unto death. He claimed every promise, everything that God ever promised to man, everything that God ever was going to give to man, Jesus claimed it. He inherited it. The Bible says he inherited a name. He did that when he died on the cross, was buried, and he rose from the dead through his death, burial, and resurrection. If you read in Philippians 2, the Bible says that God gave Jesus a name above every other name. That happened when Jesus died for us on the cross. He inherited it. And folks, he did that for us. And now Jesus had all the power and all the authority, and he was going to heaven, and he said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you, and I am going to send you out in my name. In other words, Jesus deputized the church. Hey, what happened? I just got a speaker came in. Can you guys hear me out there? I heard a speaker come in. There you are. Good. Wow. Can you hear me better? I won't have to work so hard. I can be real calm and nice now. He did. And in this text, when he says all power and authority has been given to me, and he deputized the early disciples and he deputized us, and I'm going to show you that, and he sent them out in his name. And folks, something that has been, I don't know, it's been hidden from some or hidden from some of the church, but when Jesus sent the church out, he sent them out with power. In fact, in the book of Acts, he said that don't go anywhere, don't do anything, go back to Jerusalem, wait for me until you're endued with power from on high. Wait till you get the power. And we know like 10 days later, he walked on earth for 40 days. He was raised. And 10 days later on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out and the church was empowered. And we see in the beginning, they went out in the name of Jesus. They did signs and wonders. They did miracles. They were preaching in the name of Jesus and they were fearless. And that power from the Holy Spirit was on them. Amen? In other words, and they did the same things that Jesus was doing. They preached the same gospel. The big difference when the disciples went out, of course, when Jesus was walking on the earth and teaching the kingdom of God, he had not died yet, he had not been buried yet, and he had not risen from the dead. So at that time, he could do all these miracles. He could walk in fellowship with the Father, but his disciples were not born again yet. They weren't righteous in the eyes of God unless you killed a cow or a bull and the blood covered them for a year. And God declared them righteous, but they weren't born again. They did not have the Spirit in them. Jesus deputized, 12 and then 70, but no one else would have been deputized in his name. He had to rise from the dead. He had to take authority. He had to take power, and he had to go to heaven and send the Holy Spirit back with his delegated power. That's easily proven. What spirit lives in you? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ lives in you. It's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that dwells in you. So he says, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So when Jesus deputized the church, folks, he deputized the church in power. I truly believe when Jesus comes back to earth, he's going to come back to a church that's filled with power. He's going to come back to the church that are doing the works of God. John 14:12, Jesus made this incredible statement. He said that if you believe in my name, you will do the works that I do, and even greater works than these will you do. It says, because I go to the Father. Do you believe that? Honestly. Do you really believe that? That you have the potential, and this is all potential, right? Do you have the potential in his name to do this? Don't even talk about the greater works. That's hard to imagine. But do you believe that you have the potential to do the works of Jesus? I think sometimes for some of us, and for me, it's been easy to believe, like some of the works of Jesus are feeding the hungry. Is that a work of Jesus? It absolutely is, and we believe in it here. We want to do more of that. Clothing the naked, visiting people in jail, right? Even going to see people that are sick. All these things, those are the works of Jesus. But when you talk about casting out devils or raising the dead, healing the sick, a lot of us struggle in that area. Because it's not something that we can do in our natural ability. We are completely helpless on our own to do those things. It takes a connection and a power with God to do those things. It takes the Holy Spirit of God to do those things. But Jesus said that those that believed in him would do that. So when this gospel went forth, it went forth in power. And I really believe in our day, God still wants us to go out in power. A lot of times in certain like Pentecostal churches I've been around in, people believed in the power of God inside of church. And as long as you were inside four walls, come on, help me, Jesus. As long as you were inside four walls, you could hoop and you could shout and you could holler. Someone might shake and you could pray for somebody. Maybe, you know, someone might get healed. But the thing was kind of hidden inside the walls. But I believe in this day and age, the day that we live in, what God is looking for is for people that are completely sold out, completely dedicated to the gospel, completely dedicated to Jesus, that we can get this thing outside of the four walls. That we can, in fact, I really believe that the power of God, actually, you're going to see God do, I get more words of knowledge, I get more doors open, I get more things happen when I'm out than I ever do in church. It just seems to fall on me when I'm out, and I'm ready and I'm geared to help people. I see more miraculous things happen outside the walls than I do inside the walls. Although I believe in it inside now, Don't you? It happens here. I truly believe if we get this right, the church actually becomes a training ground. So we come in here. I thought the worship was great. The praise was great. We come in here. We train. We learn. We learn the word together. We practice. But it's all a training ground for when we go out into the world and we have the gospel with us. I am so excited about the homecoming. I really am. Because a lot of us have been getting trained for 2 and 3 years, and I even had someone tell me, we got trained on this stuff, but we never activated it. We didn't put it to use. You know, during the homecoming, when we're sitting there by the tent, and people are coming by, and we have an opportunity to pray with people. Someone comes by with a cast on their leg. You have the opportunity to pray with them. Someone comes by and God may give you a word and give you something to say. You have the opportunity to stretch out. A lot of times people want to prophesy and do things in church, and I want you to. I encourage it. But I'm telling you, if you have the gifts of God in you, when you get outside these walls, you can flow night and day. And I'll be honest, that's the purpose of God. Before Pentecost, Denny, where were they? What happened before the Holy Spirit was poured out? Where were they all? They were in an upper room hiding, really. They were afraid, and they were hiding. And I think in many ways today, the church is still in an upper room. Not everybody. A lot of folks are getting this thing. But they're in an upper room hiding. As if the power of God had not fallen, as if we did not have the power of God, as if we did not have the promises of God, the church is kind of hiding, waiting for something to happen. And the Holy Spirit was poured out on Pentecost, and you know, and I believe in the gifts of the Spirit, but one of the biggest evidences that you have the Holy Spirit is you have power to witness. Jesus said, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll be my witnesses. He didn't say it was an option. He didn't say you might do it. He said, when you're full of the Holy Spirit, he says, you will be my witnesses. That's an evidence of having the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe also a part of that, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, part of that power to become a witness, and I teach on it a lot, is the ability and the power to walk on snakes and serpents and scorpions. That means that you can love your enemies. That means you have the power when someone insults you, you can hold your peace. That means you have power when people oppose you, you don't have to retaliate in the flesh. You have the ability to forgive. You have the ability to take insults. You have the ability to be persecuted and keep on ticking. Like the Energizer Bunny, you just keep on ticking. You just keep on going. God just keeps, you might get discouraged and the Holy Spirit just winds you back up and sends you out because you have supernatural power to overcome the enemy in every area of your life. And that's God's intention. And I also believe that truly one of the things that's so dissatisfying about coming to church is when we come into church, and I'm just going to preach it, we come into church religiously, we check in, we click in a box, we put our time card in, we punch it, we may or may not give in the offering, we punch our card, 2 hours later we leave, we do our best to forget the sermon, and we go out unaffected by what was said and unaffected by what was preached. That's not God's will. That is not God's will. God don't like it. God don't want it. It ain't pleasing to him. He didn't die on the cross for the church to sit in the pew and not do anything. The joy that you're going to have is when God activates you to go out into the field and labor. And I can't tell you what it's going to look like for you to go out there, but I do know this. Every single person in the church is called to be a missionary. And I myself, and I love you guys, I'm not getting on you, but I didn't come to Utica just to have a nice church. I don't think I'm capable of it. We came to Utica to create a little bit of a stir. We came to Utica for some people probably to think we're a little bit crazy. Those people up there pray in tongues and they pray for the sick. And yeah, we do. And we're not ashamed of it because it's in the Bible. And until you can tell me it's not in the Bible, I'm not going to stop doing it. If you can prove to me from the Bible that it's not there, I'll go with you. I love the Bible. I'm in it all the time. I study it. And I've looked cover to cover to find out where this stuff isn't in there. It's in there. And I don't understand how people say, well, have you been reading the scriptures? And they say, well, you know, a little bit. Or I've listened to books on tape for 5 minutes. Listen. This, and I've been saying this for months, and I'll say it more, this book is a book of revelation. Everything that you need to know about God is in this book. Everything you need to know about your problems. Guys, I love you. Thank you so much. Everything you need to know about your problems and about life situations, about things that are coming at you, is right in here. God gave you an answer. It's not in religion. It's not in trying harder. It's not in being a good boy. It's reading what Jesus said and doing it. You could come in here as lost as a goose. You could come in here not knowing God, and if you had a scripture and you believed it and it came into your heart and you went out and you did that scripture, you could have more power on you than a person that's been sitting in the pew for 40 years. Come on. You could. You just believe what God says. You go. I'm not better than you are. I may be worse. But I tell you what I want to do, what I desire to do. I desire to hear from the Lord and do what he tells me to do. I can be the biggest coward. I can be the biggest chicken. I chicken out all the time. I say, what's wrong with me? But, you know, sometimes we get it right. I want to get this thing so much in me that I'm walking in the kingdom of heaven. And to say that I'm walking in the kingdom of heaven means that I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm walking in the power of God. I'm walking in the promises of God. I'm walking in the anointing of God. Folks, there's so much grace from God. So much grace from God to give this to you. Any person that wants to be in the army, any person that wants to sign up and say, Jesus, I want to serve you, God has so much grace on you. You can fall 50 times and God will come and he'll pick you back up again and say, do it again. Don't listen to Sister Susie. Don't listen to Brother George. Get up and do it again. Religion has kept us back so long, trying to keep us in condemnation, trying to keep us in guilt, when God says, you're my sons, you're my daughters, I want you to go. I'm not mad, I'm not upset, I'm trying to get you to go fulfill your calling. Go fulfill your purpose. You will never be satisfied in life if you don't fulfill your calling. I have many things that I love and I enjoy to do. I like to run. I enjoy coaching cross country. I enjoy the, but those things will never satisfy my soul. I go to these cross country meets and I'm always talk to somebody about Jesus. I stood next to a guy yesterday. I can't tell you the whole story. I stood next to a guy yesterday. He had 11 kids and many of them ran cross country. He lost his wife a year ago in a car accident. One son was paralyzed. And he has all the other kids. He was a really good Catholic man, loved the guy, had a great conversation. And I just am weeping, standing here, watching my kids running past me. I got tears in my eyes for compassion for this guy and for his son. I can't get this stuff out of me. God throws people in my path. And God wants to throw people in your path. God wants you to be a blessing. God is sending you out. God is gifting you. And I'm telling you, it's too long for people to come in churches and think that they're God's gift to the church. Come in, sit down, shut up. Oh, look, did I say that? Get full of the Lord. Get full of the Holy Spirit and go out and help somebody. Amen? Hallelujah. You don't have to shut up. Just keep it down. I am not God's gift to anything, okay? The way that I am God's gift to something is I do what God tells me to do. I find my place and I go out and do it. And folks, this church, and this is a Vision Sunday, this church, and I had this in my heart, and I've been waffling a little bit on it, trying to figure, I can't figure people out. I don't know what makes people tick. I don't know what makes them happy. Some will, you know, say you need to preach more. Some say you need to teach more. Some say you need to be nicer. Some say you need to be meaner. I can't figure you all out. So I decided I'm just going to please Jesus. Amen. Amen? You guys are wearing me out. I don't know. I can't do it. So I might as well just please Jesus. And me and Pam, we came here to bless people, to love people, and help people. We've had a few people and, you know, a couple people, my good buddy left, and it's heartbreaking and stuff. But you know what? At the end of the day, God sent me here. I don't know if he sent them or not, but he sent me here. And I'm not going anywhere. I ain't going anywhere. I isn't going anywhere, and I ain't going anywhere. Because God put me here. And if he put you here, you know you belong here. Let's get busy. We are really, I wish I would have Sonny named this place Grace Point Training Center. We are a community church, but we're a training center. We are a training center. We want to train people up, and we want people to go out into their world, into their life. Maybe they'll go on mission fields, but maybe into their own life and reach people for Jesus. We want to teach you how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you don't want to speak in tongues, I don't care. I love you. Just go out and tell somebody about Jesus. Just go lay hands on somebody. I don't care. Just get full of God and go love somebody. Because that's what God raised you up to do. That's what God created you to do. Michael Beaver, I remember 7, 8, 9 years ago, you and I, it was 80 kids in the park or more when we had that children's outreach event. We need to do that again. That's the best thing we ever did. Go out there and grab 80 kids and bring them in and tell them about Jesus. Tell them that Jesus loves them. We need to reach out, and you need and I need to reach out in our own world. Doesn't the word say, my favorite scripture I know, that if you seek first the kingdom of God, everything else is added to you? Folks, the devil is lying to us, getting us to focus on everything but God. Getting you to focus on your finances, your money, your problems, and this and that, and you're focusing on this. And God has given us good things. We can have good, we can enjoy things, we can go out and have fun. But our focus, our passion, our life is on the kingdom of God. And when the kingdom of God is our focus, the word says everything else is added to you. I was serving God, minding my own business when God sent Pam my way. Wasn't even looking for her at the time. I was minding my own business and God sent Pam to me. I needed her. And he sent her to me. Everything. When I came to Utica, God brought somebody, a friend of mine from high school, sat here, and his sister was selling a house. And I knew that was the house that God had given us. You know, and all these, when I came here, right at the same time that I came here, FedEx sent me a letter and said, hey, we want to start your retirement now. Can we send you a little bit of money every month? I said, hallelujah, Lord, because I don't know if those people are going to pay me. Amen? And of course you are, and thank you very much. Guys, God will take care of you when you seek first his kingdom, when you make his kingdom your priority. Now, you don't have to do that. I really believe the grace of God, God's love is on you, God's favor. He loves you. He wants to bless you. But if you want to be a victorious Christian, walking in the power and the anointing of God for your life, then God is first. And even in my preaching on giving, which I'm not going to preach on giving, my whole point about giving and everything, no matter what you think, the whole point is God has to be first in everything. That is my one and only point. I hate talking about money. I feel like Paul. I covet no man's silver or gold. I don't covet your money. I don't care about it. In one sense, I don't care about it. But God has to be first in every area of your life. If you don't tell people about Jesus, something's wrong with you. If you're a Christian. Was that right? Listen, every seed reproduces after its own kind. Okay? If you love Jesus and you don't tell people, and I struggle too. I struggled with this too. I don't always do well. I don't always do good. But if Jesus Christ lives in you and you have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, there should be something in you that just activates and you got to tell people about Jesus. If we really believe that Jesus died for the sins of the world, he died for the sins of your neighbor, the sins of your mom and dad, the sins of your nephew, you're going to find some way, somehow, to tell somebody about Jesus. Is that true? Amen. Amen. Don't get in condemnation about it. Just go seek the Lord and say, God, I need this power. I need your help. I spend most of my time telling God, I need your help, Lord, today. The Word of God says that we can go to the throne room of grace, Brian, and we can get grace to help today for what we need. Amen? Whatever we need for this day, if we go to the throne of grace, God is willing to give us the grace that we need to do His will for this day. In Paul's great prayer in Ephesians, he prays and he says, I pray that you will know the power that's available to us that believe. I pray that God shows you the power that you have in Christ, the power that's available to you when you believe in Jesus. There's a power from another world that God has poured out and wants to pour into your life so you can be effective in sharing Jesus. There's a power from another world. It's full of gifts. It's full of all kind of good fruit. It's full of all kind of goodness that God has poured out. And Paul says, I pray that. Folks, I pray for Grace Point Church that we know the power that's available to us because we believe in Jesus. I'm going to start, and I sense, if you're feeling condemnation, get rid of it. I'm not trying to put you in condemnation. You're not going to share Christ with people because you feel condemned. You will not share Christ with people. You're going to share Christ with people when you look more and more like Jesus. And when we do this thing at the homecoming and we share Jesus, the one instruction, the one teaching, when you're standing in front of that table, from the least to just love people. Just go there with the intention that this red-haired girl that walks in front of me, I'm going to say something to her, and I'm going to somehow show her that God loves her, and I'm going to see where that goes. That's my witnessing tip for today. Here's a red-headed girl with a ponytail. I'm going to say something to her today to show her that God loves her. I'm going to find out, and the more I talk to her, then the Spirit of God will just flow through you. It'll work just like that. He'll just flow right out of you to that person and show the love of God. God didn't give you a spirit of fear. He gave you a spirit of love, a spirit of power, and a spirit of a sound mind. You just step out and just start loving somebody, and the Spirit of God will flow through you like a river. Someone say amen. Amen. That's what I care about. These are the things that I care about. And this is where we want to take the church, okay? And we want to root you and ground you in the Word of God. On Wednesday nights, when we're done with Samuel, probably around the 1st of October, right after the homecoming, we want to do a series of classes and teaching. I'm going to teach it on the kingdom of God, how to walk in the kingdom of heaven, how to walk in the kingdom of God. So you can learn what it means to activate the kingdom of God in your life. It really is synonymous with walking in the Spirit. But do you know when Jesus came and he did all those beautiful teachings about not resisting evil and turning the other cheek and forgiving and feeding the poor? And do you know Jesus was teaching us how to walk in the kingdom of God? Did you know that? The way of the kingdom of God, and I can't get into it. We're going to teach it on Wednesday nights starting in October. The way of the kingdom of God is just the opposite of the way that you've been taught. The world tells you grab all the gusto you can, go for it. The world tells you if someone insults you, you know, firepower, get them twice as hard back. If they tweet about you, then you do a double tweet. You make your tweet meaner and nastier. They say something bad. The way that you overcome evil in the kingdom of God is you do good to people that do bad to you. There's power in that. There's victory in that. No weapon formed against you can prosper when you walk like that. When God becomes your ally, when God becomes your defense, Tracy, there's no weapon that's formed against you that'll ever prosper. Hey, brother, good to see you. I just saw you. Good morning. This is what we want at Grace Point Church. We want to train the church here to take this thing out. And we're going to, obviously, we want the gifts and the power of God. While we're training and believing God for you to be equipped to go out, we're believing for God as we come in the power of the Holy, like today, the power of the Holy Spirit, we're believing God to move here too. Someone say amen. Because really, when you get together, what happens when you get together and you're all in one accord? And if someone that's divisive ever leaves the church, love them, forgive them, be good to them, don't gossip about them, but let them go, because they'll hurt the church. If they're dividing and gossiping and hurting the church, when they go, don't gossip about them, don't talk about them, don't say bad. Let them say whatever they want about you, but don't you dare say anything bad about them. You give them $100 and buy their meal. You be nice to them. You forgive them. Don't be like that, okay? But let them go. Because when we're in here in unity and we're in here with a common vision, we're in here with a common purpose, and we have a common focus, and that's to glorify Jesus and glorify God, the Holy Spirit will consume the sacrifice. I felt it today, Charlie. We're just kind of warming up. I sense the Spirit of God is growing. He's moving in this place. You know, some bad attitude is leaving. Some good attitude is coming. Folks, that's what we want. We have a focus. Do you know you can't do anything to earn God's credit of righteousness? The Bible says righteousness is a free gift. God credits it to you. But do you know when you go out and work to God, what you're doing is crediting God's work back to Him? Let me say that again. You can't earn righteousness. It's a gift. God credits that righteousness to you. But when you go out and serve God and love God and help the poor and pray for the sick and reach out to people and love your enemies, you're actually crediting or giving the glory back to God. What you're saying is, God, you saved me and I was a rascal. You took my sins away. You filled me with the Spirit. I don't deserve this. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to love you. And I'm going to give you the credit. I'm going to give you the glory for it. You credit God back. You did this for me, Lord. I'm giving you the glory back. Thank you for saving me. I was a horrible person. I was. I can't believe that you were, but I was a horrible person, and God saved me and took away my sins. And now I want to give him the glory. I want to give him the credit back. You did this, Lord. I want to serve you. I want to tell somebody about how good you are. Someone say amen, because it's true. I'm almost done. So we're going to on Wednesday nights, this kingdom series to teach us how to walk in the Spirit, how to walk. But also, we want to train you to pray for your neighbor, how to pray for sick people, how to give someone a word if God gives it to you, how to recognize it, how to walk in love toward people, how to walk in the kingdom. Really, the whole gospel, that's what Jesus is teaching. The Word of God says that when Jesus preached, it says he began to say and do. He said and he did. Grace Point, we need to say and, you know, we do a lot of saying sometimes. We're doing pretty good, but it says everything that Jesus began to say and to do. And then he told the church, now I want you to go and I want you to say and to.